Hey, welcome everybody. This is Table Talk, your healthy theological radio addiction. My name is Pastor Brent Kuhlman. I serve Trinity Lutheran Church just north of Murdoch, Nebraska. And my other co-hosts are Pastor Adam Moline and Clint Poppy. They serve Good Shepherd in Lincoln, Nebraska. It's great to be with you. We've begun a series called Lutheranism 101. We're taking a look at the six chief parts of the Small Catechism. And we're going to show you that the Catechism faithfully teaches what the Scriptures teach, the ABCs of the Christian faith, and I think this will give you great joy. Now, what we're going to do today is we're going to start at the commandments proper. So we're going to look at the first commandment. Now, the first commandment is, you shall have no other gods. And if you're wondering, all right, now where is this in the Bible, Pastor? I mean, good grief, Ten Commandments, seriously? It is. It's in Exodus. You can check it out, Exodus 20. It's also in the book of Deuteronomy. So you can check that out, okay? The Ten Commandments are from the Scriptures. God gave the Ten Commandments to Israel, and we continue to observe them because they are God's word. Now, first commandment, you shall have no other gods. Now, this is really big. And Luther says in the Small Catechism, he always asks the question, what does this mean? You know, when God says, don't have any other gods, well, what in the world does that mean? And the answer, of course, is we should fear, love, and trust in God above all things. Now, right away, people are probably saying, okay, that's just a man talking. That's just his interpretation. But I want Pastor Moline to show us that the fear, love, and trust language, we should fear, love, and trust in God above all things, is precisely what the Scriptures teach, and that's what Luther's getting at. What do you got, Pastor?
Yeah, God teaches us that. So, for example, Psalm 33, verse 8 says, let all the earth fear the Lord, let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. Psalm 96 says, great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. And it goes on, we often stop there, but it goes on and says, he is to be feared above all gods. Proverbs chapter 8 says, the fear of the Lord is hatred of evil. And even in Matthew chapter 10, Jesus says, do not fear those who can kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather, fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell.
Yeah, that's what the Scriptures clearly teach. You know, the Proverbs, of course, teaches too that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom.
Yeah.
So the Bible teaches that we are to fear God. And what's interesting here, Pastor Poppy, if you'll speak to this, tell me if I'm wrong or right. We should fear God rather than man.
Absolutely. And what Luther is teaching us, we should fear, love, and trust in God above all things. And when I'm teaching this, I like to say, think of it this way. We should fear, love, and trust in God above all nouns. Now, you remember back to your elementary English class, what's a noun? A person, a place, a thing, or sometimes an idea. These are the things that we put our fear, our love, and our trust in. People, places, things, dreams, or ideas of what you want life to be like. And so this first commandment encompasses every aspect of our life. And God's word clearly teaches when the disciples are in prison, we should obey God rather than men.
Yeah,
we have several narratives, and I'm thinking specifically of the Christmas narrative, Luke 2, where when the angel bringing the word of God, the word of salvation to the shepherds, keeping watch over their flocks at night, they didn't break out a praise band. They didn't pass a joint. What did they do? They fell down on their knees in fear. They were sore afraid, as the King James tells us. And so when a holy God comes face to face with an unholy people, there needs to be holy fear. That's what the first commandment's talking about.
Isaiah, too, when Isaiah sees the picture of heaven, he falls on his face and says, woe to me, a man with unclean lips. He's terrified to death because he's in the presence of a holy God as a sinful person.
Peter does the same thing in the presence of Jesus. Read that in the New Testament, folks. Yeah, okay, so you shall have no other gods. What does this mean? We should fear, love, and trust in God above all things. So fear, that's what the Bible clearly teaches. Before we go to love, just one observation, folks. The end of the Ten Commandments, which quotes Exodus 20, verses 5 through 6, then it asks, what does this mean? And part of it, I'm just doing this off, we should fear his
wrath,
and not do anything against them, namely the Ten Commandments. Keep that in mind. I'm going to repeat this. At the end of the commandments, after Luther quotes Exodus 20, about what does God say about all these commandments, and then he asks another question, what does this mean? And part of it is we should fear his wrath and not do anything against these commandments. So if you have another God, if you trust and love or fear another God, guess what? Ain't going to go with you. It'll go well with you. So that's fear of God. Love. Is that taught in the scripture? Are we to love God?
It certainly is. For example, Jesus in Matthew 22 says, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind." And that one's pretty clear there. But we also have...
Somebody just preached on that recently.
Yeah.
Sorry.
We also have in Psalm 73, it's not specific there, but it does teach that too. It says, "Whom have I in heaven but you? And there is nothing on earth that I desire beside you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever." And we also have the entire book of Song of Solomon that teaches us about the relationship between us and God, reflecting upon that as the relationship between a husband and a wife and the love that flows back and forth between them.
So when God says in the first commandment, "You shall have no other gods," it means that we should fear him above all things and we should love him above all things. And our Lord himself actually says that. That was the first quote out of your mouth from Matthew. "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind."
And he's quoting Leviticus and Deuteronomy
right.
when he says that. So this is a universal message. This
right.
didn't just happen when Jesus was born. This has been God's message throughout the time of the world. This is God's message throughout all the pages of the scripture.
Right. Now what about trust?
Yeah, trust we have in there as well. Scripture clearly teaches that. We have all the Psalms that talk about it's better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man. Psalm 118, verse 8. We have Proverbs 3 that says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own misunderstanding." We have other examples. For example, David trusted in God to take care of him as he went to go fight Goliath. And Abraham trusted in God to take care of him as he left his home in Haran and headed to Canaan, the promised land. We could go on and on and on to see how God teaches us we ought to trust in him.
And let's do that. You opened it up. Let's run with it. Let's go to Daniel 3. So those of you who are listening, if you've got your Bibles, go to the book of Daniel. Or maybe it's Daniel 2 here. Let me get this. It's Daniel chapter 2, pardon me. And I'm just going to paraphrase this for the sake of time, because we're about halfway through this first segment. So Daniel chapter 2, everybody. So Israel is in exile. She's as good as dead. But the point here is this, is that Nebuchadnezzar, when he conquers a people, he takes the best and the brightest, and he puts them to work in his kingdom. I mean, that's a wise king, by the way. Anybody who's a governor or authority, they know this. So he has these Hebrew men that are just brilliant, and they're very dependable people. And one of them, of course, is Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Side note, those are Babylonian names. Those aren't their Hebrew names. And there's a reason why Nebuchadnezzar changes the Hebrew names into Babylonian names. It's his way of saying, your God's not the true God. The Babylonian gods are the true gods. Now, see, I do this for a reason. We're first commandment here. And right off the bat, we have a first commandment issue in Daniel chapter 2, don't we? So these Hebrew boys, their names have been changed to Babylonian names. And then a law is passed. Well, let me back it up here a little bit. Nebuchadnezzar builds an image of gold. It's 90 feet high. And image, very interesting word, image, isn't it, gentlemen? Whose image do you think is probably on that pillar of gold? Who do you think, Clint? Text doesn't say.
Probably Nebuchadnezzar's
image. Could very well be. Now, again, the text doesn't say it, but it could be his image, or who else could it be, Adam?
On the pillar of gold?
Yeah. Could it be other Babylonian gods?
I was going to say it could be any of those Babylonian gods. If you go to Germany, you can see a lot of the buildings, you know, they have the gates to the capital city, and they have statues of all these Babylonian kings and their gods and things like that. So there's any number of them that it could be.
And it could be both.
Yeah.
But let's just run with it. It's not going to be the image of the one true God. So nonetheless, when you hear the orchestra play, everyone in the kingdom is to fall down and worship the image of gold. So we've got a first commandment issue. And Do Shadrach and Meshach, when they hear the orchestra play, do they fall down and worship the image, Clint?
No.
They do not. And what is at stake? What is at stake if they don't do it? What will happen to them if they don't?
Their life. Well, first of all, their livelihood, their reputation, everything. But ultimately, their life. Because when you defy the king, you are defying that particular deity. The king calls himself a god, acts like a god, and you're defying God, small g, and your life is at stake.
And the text explicitly says that if you don't fall down and worship when you hear the orchestra play, you will be what? Thrown into a
fiery furnace.
That's correct. And so that's precisely what happens. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego will not break the first commandment. They fear. See, this is the clincher. They fear, love, and trust in God above all things, even when the most powerful man on the earth says, look, I'll give you a second chance, boys. When you hear the orchestra play, hey, no biggie. You fall down and worship, I'll let you go. But if you don't, and they don't, boy, he is hacked off, and man, he heats the furnace hotter than normal, you know, and he throws them in. But what's interesting, if let's just go to, what did I say, Daniel?
Chapter 3, verses 16, 17 is the response of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego.
Yeah, my eyes don't work this way. I'm looking at verse 17. If this be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. And look at verse 18. Isn't this wonderful? But if not, be it known to you, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up. This is just absolutely amazing.
They fear the wrath of the one true God more than they fear the wrath of King Nebuchadnezzar and the fiery furnace.
Right.
They love and are devoted to the one true God more than they love and are devoted to Nebuchadnezzar. And they trust that the one true God, if he chooses to, will deliver them.
That's right.
It's up to him.
That's right.
So this, even if they die. I mean, the deliverance isn't necessarily predicated on them continuing their life in this world. It could be in the world to come.
Now, this is really delicious because it not only gives us Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego keeping the first commandment, but they also are a foretaste of someone who is to come. And that is to say, the Lord Jesus Christ, who trusts his Father and his Father's promise against the highest of all earthly authorities, the representative of Rome, Pontius Pilate, who says, you know, I have power over you. You know, I have power over you, boy. I can do whatever I want to you, boy. Now, pardon my language, but that's essentially what he's saying. And Jesus trusts his Father, and in particular his Father's promise, that he will raise him from the
dead.
You see how this works, folks?
And you would have no power over me if it were not given to you from above.
Yeah.
He teaches Pilate a catechism lesson, even though the shadow of the cross is looming over him. He loves him enough to teach him the truth of God's word. That just blows my mind.
So what we've done is we've given a positive example of fearing, loving, and trusting God above all things. But let's we've got just a couple minutes. Let's give a real quick example. If we don't finish it, we can pick it up on the next segment. Genesis 3, you have Adam and Eve, who, when tempted by Satan, will not fear, love, and trust in God above all things. Now, all of a sudden, they believe a lie, and they won't trust the Lord and his word. And we know what happens, don't we? It just ends horrifically, or the way I always talk about it, hellaciously, right? Okay?
Yes.
So as we teach the catechism, what we want to do is we want to make sure the kids know the catechism. And what it, like the first commandment, what it means, and then give these biblical examples so that the kids can make the connections and connect the dots. All right, we're going to come back after the break, and we'll talk more about the Ten Commandments.